Hall of Famer and All-American linebacker Jody Schultz, and you are listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
All right, welcome into the Pirate Preview here on the Sports Objective. It is game week. I can't believe it. I know a lot of people are excited about the big game coming up on Thursday evening in Bank of America Stadium. And I tell you what, right now, Big C with the Black and Gold podcast. I know a lot of people are Big C are getting ready for Thursday night. You guys with Appalachian State, Pirates haven't played App since 2012. It was one of the hottest games I've ever been to in the history of the series in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, but this is going to be much different on Thursday night. Two different teams, two different directions of the programs have been headed in recent times, but it's a brand new year, brand new season. How's everything going there? And Boone, as you guys get ready for the game in Charlotte.
Well, first off, I'm glad to hear that someone else also thought that that game in 2012 was one of the hottest games on earth, because we were hoping it just wasn't us. So it's good to hear that from some ECU fans. That was also a barn burner and very hot, because it was very rough. But, everybody's doing good up here. Everybody up here is excited, just kind of like Greenville. Boone's the same way, I think. Small town, everybody gathers around football season. Everybody gets excited. You can feel it in the air. And I think we're all just ready to, you know, we'll do a little bit more talking here, but get the talking done and get the playing going on.
No doubt, Big C. You know, one of the things I think about App State is I was just thinking about video games, and it's amazing when you have a program rolling like Appalachian State. The best way I can describe Appalachian State is plug and play. You can put not just any coach, I'm not saying that, but plug and play, plug and play, plug and play. Coach after there's been the third coach here in the FBS era of the program, and you guys are just rolling. I mean, I think, what was it, 9-3 last year? Is that right?
Yeah, 9-3. That was our record. We played 11 games in the regular season and then won our bowl game. We lost one of those in the regular season due to just the way the pandemic really played out. But you're right. I mean, I think App is very fortunate that that they've had just that period of time where there was three coaches in 3 years, and it wasn't like someone had established themselves for a long time, then had someone leave after two or three, and then had another someone guy come in for two or three, because I think that's where you probably lose a lot of the chemistry in recruiting and all those things that go along with the relationships with the players and the coaches. And we're very fortunate that really that the middle guy, Elijah Drinkwitz, who is now with Missouri, he was just here for 1 year, and then we hired a guy who was basically on Scott Satterfield's staff, an alum, a former player. And so we didn't really miss a beat as far as the culture was concerned. It is a real, some places have a problem with that where you have a coach for two or three years and, you don't know when the right time is to fire him or like let it go. But, when Drinkwitz was here, we were 13-1 and it's just kind of worked out. We've been very fortunate.
No doubt about it. And with the Pirates and, I saw this, and it's hard to believe that I know that Appalachian State owns the series, but completely different era. So let me be careful on that. But I think the Pirates have won six straight. You have to call it back to, I believe, 75, the last time that Appalachian State. But the one thing that is that I want to remind Pirate fans is there's some Pirate fans that don't understand the programs, the two different programs. The Pirates have been going downhill the last handful of years, while Appalachian State, while we've gone downhill, you guys have, I think it's a bowl every single year. Six straight bowls or something like that. And guess what? So I just want to say this to Pirate fans real quick. Six straight bowls for Appalachian State, six straight losing seasons for East Carolina. And if you don't think a coaching hire makes a big difference or an AD hire, Textbook definition, look at East Carolina since 2013. And I don't want to bring up, rehash everything, but I just want people to understand the significance of the two programs and where we stand. And these first two games, you guys have East Carolina and then Miami. East Carolina has pretty much a away game, and it was a neutral site. App is the home game. And then we come home to South Carolina. So both teams have two big games starting out of the gate, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good way to look at it. And it's critical for both really to have, you know, a win, because no one wants to be 0-2. You know, not no saying way. That East Carolina can't have the ability to be a South Carolina. They have before. Certainly for App, Miami's a little bit of a taller task. They're currently nationally ranked. And this was our worst fear when we got this series going with Miami. We lucked out in 2017, I believe it was. Maybe it was 16, if I'm not mistaken. But they came to Boone. It was our first huge game, as you know, in FBS, where we had we hosted a team that was of the likes of Miami. And you know, that's all you got to say is Miami football, and everybody knows what that is. And it was a wild day in Boone. We had a noon game. We hated that, but. This will be our eighth season in FBS. Our first season, we were not bowl eligible. They don't let you do that. You have that transition period. We still went 7-5 that year, even though we started off 1-5. So we won the last six games. We asked for a waiver to get into bowl, but it was declined. And then we've been to a bowl ever since, four conference titles in a row, and we've won them all.
Now, Big C, I know when it comes to App State football, you're very much like I am with East Carolina. You follow the program for 3.5 decades. I mean, pretty much since you were long enough to remember games back in the mid-'80s. So just tell folks on what's the App State perspective as far as this series. I know Coach Clark loves it, and personally, I love seeing these two teams square off on a regular basis.
Well, we were certainly thrilled to get this series back on, and when it was announced in early 2017, and having the opportunity to go to Charlotte and play a game is certainly a big deal as well. You get to do something you haven't typically done. You know, you play those neutral site games just in bowl games, and that's about the only opportunity you have. Yet those games are typically in December, tough time for people to travel, unlike a situation where it's the first game, all the excitement is there, everybody's ready to get back and going, and you go to one of both schools' really largest alumni bases. I'm sure it's like that for ECU, where there's a lot of fans who are going to travel. There's a lot of fans that don't have to, and it makes it easy on them. So I'm certainly all about it. I don't look down on UNC Charlotte. I think that's a great series. I got a feeling there's, you know, some type of comparison there with some ECU fans toward App, and you know, but I think it's great. I think in-state teams should play more often. It's certainly good for the state. It's good for the newspapers. They've got to love it. So, I mean, why not? And, you know, the bragging rights is what this deal is all about. I mean, it's cool and all to beat up on the South Alabamas and the Texas States of the world, but you know we work with people who go to ECU, and you work with people that go to App, and vice versa. So everybody likes to talk about water cooler talk, and that's what college football is all about, is the fun in that.
No question about it, and it's definitely bragging rights. Again, this series, some people, Big C, may not know, but goes back to the SoCon days, and certainly conference championships for both programs. And this was a huge rivalry back in the Pat Dye era. I know, going way back before I was a Pirate fan, before I moved to Eastern North Carolina in 1985. But this is a big series. I think that you're exactly right. I think when you look at seven Division I programs in North Carolina, North Carolina is one of the fastest growing states as far as population, top 10 population. You're getting better athletes now. I mean, you could just go on and on, East versus West. There's a lot of great storylines here, from the small and big storylines, but certainly a big game. And another thing, too, that I always brag about Appalachian State is your fan base is so passionate when it comes to football, like East Carolina. Why wouldn't you have this game?
I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world. For several years, and I think it's still true now, whenever we've had an opportunity to go to what we would call a money game, whether we were in FCS or FBS, we always wanted to go. You know, we'd sell out those tickets as fast as possible, and then we'd go ask for more. And I'm not saying we were selling out 500 tickets and 1,000. We would ask for as many as they'd give us, and then and then people would still find ways. And I think to an extent, Michigan kind of ruined that, to, you know, because a lot of us went. And now because of that game, we don't want to miss the next one. So that's why we travel to Tennessee and we travel to Penn State and so on and so forth. That's why at the end of the South Carolina game in 2019, it was mostly at fans there. And there was a lot of black and gold at Chapel Hill in that 2019 as well. So, I mean, we love our team. And that is that's one of the things we got going for us. We don't just have a smattering of fans. We take big crowds of bowl games and everything like that. So, yeah, our fans love App State football.
One of the questions I have, and obviously we're going to talk about the game, and we have, by the way, folks, we have the analyst for East Carolina football coming up. Kevin Monroe will be in the second part of our show. We appreciate Kev. He's in the green room right now. I know he saw his son play tonight. We'll ask him about how he did with the JV game coming up tonight. But when it comes to, obviously, Appalachian State, when it comes to East Carolina, I think you were talking about the, obviously, in-state robbery. But I also think that in the big scheme of things, when it comes to college football, I think they make I know Terry Holland, former athletic director, made the point of having Appalachian State on the same conference as East Carolina. It makes perfect sense. Do you get a feeling, I just want to ask you this with you guys, with App State, would App State move to the American, say that hypothetically, I know there's a hypothetical here, but we're talking heads at the moment. Would App State be happy being in the American? You guys are great in the Sun Belt, but will you guys move to the American if the American gets raided by, say, the Big 12 or other conferences?
I would have to think that if the American sent App State an invite and that we would probably accept, but we would have some work to do. The budgets are certainly, you know, what we've put in the athletics and what the American conference has put in the athletics. There's certainly a gap there. But we were able to cover that gap when we went from FCS to the Sun Belt. You know, we didn't jump into the Sun Belt with all these great resources. We weren't at the, you know, towards the top as far as spending on athletics, but we got there.
Right.
We had the fan base to do it. And then once they saw what can happen off of this, it followed. Now, obviously, you get into a conference and payouts are different for NCAA, you know, money, college football playoff money, and then, of course, television rights and all that. And that would certainly help. But we'd have to do a little bit to cover that. Now, would we want to be in a conference with ECU? I think absolutely, 100%. We've seen firsthand what it's like to be in a regional conference very recently, have shorter games to travel to, and then what it's like to know that the longest trip you used to have is now the shortest trip you have, you know, like Georgia Southern. Like, that was our longest trip, and now it's like the shortest trip, if you want to include Coastal and Georgia State. But that's still a long way for your average fan to travel. So we'd certainly love to have someone in our conference closer that we can relate with versus, say, South Alabama or something like that.
Right.
Kind of shifting and taking a look at the game on the field, Big C. Obviously, this game opened with App State as a 14.5-point favorite. Last I saw, it was right around 10.5. Mm-hmm. So a clear-cut favorite. You return essentially everything. You do lose your quarterback in Zach Thomas, but you obviously have Bryce coming in from Duke, who began his career at Clemson. So just give Pirate Nation, let's start with the offensive side. You have a stable of running backs, and obviously down through the years, this is a program that's prided itself on a tremendous ground attack.
Yeah, we start the running backs. Cam Peoples is a junior. Nate Noel is a sophomore. Peoples has been around. He's redshirted once due to an injury. He broke school record as far as rushing yards in the game, in the bowl game against North Texas, last game out. That's game got garnered him kind of a lot of attention, but we feel like that Nate Noel is also right there. We probably have like a 1A, 1B. We probably don't have a starting running back there because they're both very good and they'll both get action. Our top four receivers are all super seniors. They've been there and they've done that. They've contributed at all levels. Chase Bryce is obviously new, but he was here in the spring. Offensive coordinator Frank Ponce, who was here during the Satterfield days, left the Louisville for a couple of years and came back. Now he's the sole offensive coordinator. He's been here since the spring, so they've had some time to mesh. Our offensive line, we not to say we shuffled, but we graduated a lot of good players, but we've moved some guys around. But at App, you know, Dave was mentioning this earlier, plug and play. Our offensive line is our bread and butter. It's not going to be bad. We're not going to let it be bad. Sean Clark won't let it be bad. So we're going to be good there. It's just a matter of in-game chemistry to me. You know, how does practice transfer to the game and how quickly we adapt to that. And kind of the same story on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of the same faces. I think we replaced one corner who was an NFL draft pick who's with the Packers and made the 53-man cut, and then a couple safeties who have had significant playing time over their careers. Our linebackers are all incredible. And then, you know, our defensive line won't, you know, you look at them, those three, they won't scare you, but they play hard and they play tough. And that's just kind of their MO.
With us right now, joining the show is Kyle Barber. And I know, Kyle, you're fired up for Thursday night, aren't you? Big C here. Obviously, App State. He's like the Bubba of App State, I think, right, Big C?
That's what I've been told. I believe it.
The Bubba of App State. All right. Big C, I appreciate you coming on the show here. I kind of got a thing for arriving late, so that's my gimmick. But I'm here now. Yeah, excited for Thursday night. Cautiously optimistic. I know what the Mountaineers have coming back, which is pretty much everybody. Coach Houston alluded to, you know, when he first got the job here, looking at future schedules and kind of looking at rosters and thinking to himself, well, we may be catching App at the right time because they're going to be young when we play them. And then COVID happened and you got a bunch of super seniors versus having a young football team. So, yeah, it's probably one of the most experienced teams in the country when you really look at it, particularly with your starters. How much depth? Obviously, your starters a lot of experience, but on your two deep and beyond, is it senior and junior laden, or at what point do you start getting into some young guys?
Well, it's pretty quick, honestly, because we have so many seniors, and we've been fortunate enough to redshirt guys, so it's, you know, it's hard to look at a roster card anymore and just look and see freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. You really got to look and see how many letters they got. And we've got that. I mean, all of our backup wide receivers, the next five, I guess you would say, after the top four super seniors are certainly have the caliber to play in our conference right now. But they just got people in front of them. We're deep at running back. You got a super senior backup quarterback. Probably the defense is where we're going to be thinner, but we rotate on the defensive line. We've got a senior at two of the linebacker positions. We like to get freshmen playing time, but only if they're going to really contribute. So in any given year, you're going to have maybe one or two true freshmen getting significant playing time for App. We really, really focus on getting to campus, getting big, going to class, learning how to be a student first, and then becoming an athlete second.
Big C, I wanted to ask you with Boone right now, what's the atmosphere like as far as the excitement buildup with being game week? Have you heard as far as students, obviously the alumni, how is it? I know this is a big game, but how is it from your perspective there in Boone this week?
What I do know is that I don't know how many students' tickets they made available. They sold some tickets for like $25, but they sold them all out. So that's a good thing. Obviously, we live in it's a very tight town. And so everybody kind of lives on top of each other. It's tough. It's tough for, I guess, because we never had a neutral site game before to kind of understand how important this is. You know, we usually open up with somebody big, like a Power Five, the likes from the SEC or whatever, and people will certainly talk about that and go to those type of games. And this seems like it's a little bit different to an extent, but at the same time, you know, with COVID still lingering, I think it maybe kind of dampens that a little bit. But at the same time, I expect, you know, every place in town to have the game on and all that good stuff. You know, we just set an enrollment record of 20,641 students. So there's bound to be a few football fans in there. And regularly during our home games, we've got you know, 7,500 to 9,000 students who come to home games. So it's a big part of what they do in Boone.
Yeah, and but any Pirate players that happen to be watching, just if you need any motivation, they normally open up with somebody big.
Right. And I understand. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's different. But the students who go to App now didn't, you know, they don't know what that's like, you know.
Right.
19, 20, and 21-year-olds, you know, the last time we played was 2012. They were 10 years old. They certainly weren't thinking about East Carolina or UNC Charlotte, for that matter, you know. So it's different. But I know our alumni are jacked for the game. We always get really excited for any game. Certainly one where it's in Charlotte. It's an NFL stadium. It's against the in-state team. It's, you know, we're going to be there. We're going to be out in full force.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it has, like I said at the beginning of the interview, and then I'll let Bubba chime in. It has a feeling of a bolt light atmosphere being at Bank of America Stadium. What I've heard is, I don't know, I wanted to ask you this question, then I'm going to pitch you to Bubba. I've heard that there's been a lot of App State. We were talking about how good the being not too far away, alumni base, but I've heard there's been a lot of tickets sold for App State fans.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know how many we've sold as a school. The last I heard was 31,000. I don't know if that was – I would imagine that's between the two of us. But it's supposed to be a nice day. They're probably expecting a lot of walk-ups, you know, in downtown Charlotte. That seems to be what Charlotte kind of does. You know, night's attendance kind of depends on if the weather's nice and what day it is. So with Labor Day weekend, with you know, the buzz of Clemson, Georgia following that, I'm sure we're going to have some people who are interested. I don't have an official, you know, any guess at the attendance. I'd hope it get close to 40. But, you know, I know that our fans have bought a lot of tickets. I don't know what the split would be. I would imagine like 65, 35. I don't know if that's a fair number, but that'd just be a guess.
Bubba, have you heard, was it 34,000 altogether for Thursday night?
The last I had heard was what Big C was saying. I had heard, you know, that Yosef Club was thinking, and John Gilbert reiterated this after he'd been on a conference call, saying that 40,000 looked very possible. So hopefully that will be the case. But going back to the offense very quickly, Chase, sure. Price, more specifically, talk about Chase and what's been coming out of camp about him and his performance last year. Kind of a difficult situation being a grad transfer to Duke, no spring ball due to COVID. So how's he looking? And then also talk about the OC, Coach Pont, coming back to App from Louisville.
I think everybody in Boone's got the confidence in Frank Ponce. It's always been a offensive coordinator, not by committee, but kind of a group think on game days. So it's not just going to be Ponce. Ponce will get input from Coach Clark, and he'll get input from the running backs coach and all that. I mean, that's kind of how we've gone about that. But as far as Chase, I mean, I think the hardest part for anybody is to just, you know, there's guys that go that transfer to other schools think they're the best thing that's like since sliced bread. They're transferring, quote unquote, down. You know, if you see the progression from Clemson to Duke to App, but really the biggest deal is just buying in with the rest of your teammates and having the confidence in them. And so, there were some reports out there that there was going to be a quarterback competition, but there was really no competition. There didn't need to be a competition. You know, and when the team this week voted on captains, Chase was not voted as a captain, but he was in the top 10 of all players. That tells you a lot about how people view him as a leader on the team. But his attitude coming in was, I want to fit in. Y'all, I'm not coming in to fix anything. I'm coming in here to just assist. Because y'all know what you're doing here. And that was his kind of attitude toward it. And if you got somebody like that who's going to have that team first mentality, then you're going to fit in and boom.
No question about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as far as the Black and Gold podcast, what are you guys doing this week to get the fans ready for App State East Carolina?
Well, we did an episode on Sunday night. Bubba was with us. It was our typical episode. We had a, we created something called 34-32 Day, which was a yearly kind of a fundraiser for beating Michigan. So, I mean, that's tomorrow. So we had, we raised over $5,500 for the USF club, gave away some signed memorabilia and jerseys and things of that nature that were donated. So the BGP is, our crew is fired up. We're both going to be there, and pretty much all of our private club will be there as well. So we're, certainly getting geared up.
Pixie, give us a score prediction.
Okay, I wrote down 34-20 today.
34-20, all right.
34-20.
So 34-20, is that Pirates or Appalachian State?
What do you think?
Come on, Dave.
I had to ask. I'm just kidding. I knew we already went.
Yeah. But,
well, we wanted to give you a chance to plug your show. Appreciate you so much. I know, Bubba, I've had a chance to listen to the show a time or two, and love what your work. How can people follow you and listen to the show?
You can find the Black and Gold Podcast on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anything and everything in between. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Black and Gold Pod. And you can find us Instagram as well. So if there's a way to enjoy that kind of stuff, we're not on TikTok. Like, see how y'all are, but maybe we'll get there one day. I don't know if we're hip enough to be on TikTok.
All right. Thanks, Big C. Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on tonight. And it's going to be a fun night in Charlotte on Thursday night. And we'll talk to you again soon. Maybe we can have you back on like mid-season to talk about how the Mountaineers are doing.
Sure. Love to do it. Thanks for having me on. And looking forward to Thursday. Hopefully we'll see y'all there.
All right. Thank you,
Big C. Thanks, Big C. See you, buddy. All right. Good night. All right. With us right now, I tell you what, we're going to bring him in. Bubba, what a special guest we have right now. One of our favorites back on with us. It's been a while, but it's Pirate football. And he's been on now many years with the voice of the Pirates, Jeff Charles, the analyst of ECU Football Pirates. And that will be Kevin Monroe. Kev, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you all?
Very excited to have you on. I tell you what, I just want to ask you. So all these teams now are talking about super seniors. Do you grad transfers? Can we get one more year from Kevin Monroe in the backfield? I mean, or at least for Thursday night, like in wrestling, we have a special guest referee. Can we have a special guest DB?
Listen, I may look like I'm in shape, but you don't want a 44-year-old DB out there. I can promise you that.
I don't know, man. You look like you could still be out there, my friend.
Now, talking about the defensive backfield, and we'll talk more in depth about that here in a few minutes, but, man, Pirates have more depth in that area and just on the defensive side of the ball in general, even though some of it's pretty young and inexperienced, and they haven't quite some time.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think the DB core, I wouldn't call them the best part of the defense. I still would give that to the linebackers with their experience, but I really like this defensive back core because, guys like Jaquan McMillan and Malik Fleming have been kind of marinating for a few years now. They had to play as freshmen, and they're starting to get to where they have this swagger about them, and they're ready to start making plays. And I've gone on record to say I think McMillan is one of the best corners we've had probably in the last decade or more. I really like the way he plays. And the safeties got some good depth there as well, and they're they're fitting in at the right time. The deep ball has been the big thing for the Pirates, and I think they've had trouble defending the deep ball over the last few years. It's one thing to have a guy covered, but it's another thing to come down with the football or make sure the receiver doesn't come down with it. And so I think they've worked on that a lot in the offseason, and I expect to see some guys pick some passes off. But I'm excited about the defense backfield and some of the young guys, some of the guys that transferred in, getting an opportunity to play. We've seen guys like Dorso and like that and players like that come in and make instant impacts. And I'm hoping some of these younger guys can do that as well, because they're going to rotate a lot of guys back there.
Kevin, we've been so bad so long now. Last time we 2015, 5-7, but we had a nice competitive football team last year. The record didn't indicate it, 3-6, but I really thought at times last year we were close to being a really good football team, and it just didn't get the wins and didn't get enough games. We're 3-6. Who knows? If we had three more, maybe we would 6-6. You look at the depth. I think this is, I think it goes without saying, this is going to be our best football team since 2015.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And you know, I don't think App fans really have really followed the Pirates. They've just seen the scores. They've seen the records over the last few years. And they don't know what they're getting into. I've sensed a lot of very, I don't want to say arrogant, but very cocky App State fans. And,
you
know,
did you happen to see our last interview?
I happen to have a couple of buddies up this way that I've talked to. And I had one person tell me that if App State plays how they should play, the game won't be any closer than 21 points. So they feel really good about their team, their program. And listen, I'll go on record as to say where they are right now, they should feel like they're a better team than East Carolina. But to think that they should be, you know, more than a 10-point favorite and this and that, I don't think they know what the Pirates can bring. And so I'm excited about year three for Coach Houston and I guess now year four for Holt Naylors and the things that they can do. And I really feel like this is going to be a much closer game than App State fans think. And, you know, they were talking about how in the past when they've had a big second game, maybe they wouldn't show as much in that first game to save some things on film for Miami. If they come out saving things, they're going to be in trouble. So it should be a fun game to watch.
Now, fans said this. There's no way the coaching staff is thinking
that way. This is fans. These are fans.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, the fans may think that, but Coach Park knows what he's doing. I wish the coaching staff at App State was thinking that way. I really, really do. But unfortunately, I don't think they are.
The funny thing is that, you know, we know how App State feels, right? We've been fighting for respect forever as Pirate fans. And so they didn't have to fight for respect in the FCS, but now you have to, right? Because it's not enough just to go to bowl games. Now you got to beat big Power Five teams. And they've done it. They've done that a few times over the years, and they're still having to fight with, you know, I hear they're upset that Coastal Carolina is getting so much press and pub, and they're not. And so now they're fighting with that, somebody in their own conference. So we get it. We know how it is. You just got to keep battling every year, and sooner or later people give you that respect.
Kevin, one battle cry I've had, and you know, I don't think Coach Houston needs any advice on motivational speech. But one thing I told these guys is, you know, I'm sure Holton would get this. To me, we need to get our spot back. To me, you know, East Carolina was the school that went around and beat the ACC teams. They were the school that, you know, pulled off the upsets over the quote unquote Power Five. We were the football school in the state of North Carolina, and over the last 5 to 7 years, App State's kind of taken our spot. And to me, that's what we need to do this Thursday night is go get our spot back. App State is in our chair. They're in our chair. We need to go slap the shit out of them and get our chair back.
You know, we certainly have to play better, right? It's easy to get used to losing, and I think that's where the Pirates have been over the last several years. You know, the coaching changes and you know, offensive coordinators and different things have changed over the last several years, and so it gets tough to kind of get in that rhythm you need to be in and find a way to win those games late. I love that we finished the season with the win over Temple. I'm not going to go brag about the Temple win. By the end of that game, they had, I think, an equipment manager playing quarterback. But that SMU game was big. And, you know, that was a game they were definitely underdogs in, and they came in and played really, really well. So it's hard to take momentum into the offseason and bring that into the next season, but at least it gives them that feeling of what it's like to win back-to-back games and how to push forward for this 2021 season.
And Kevin, the very fact that this team, I was telling the guys, this group here reminds me right before I started East Carolina a couple years before that 1990 team they call the Foundation right before the Peach Bowl. Mm-hmm. This team really, really, really is really talented, and we're so close to getting over the hump, so to speak. We saw flashes last year where now finally, I remember listening to you and Jeff for so many games, and I could tell the hurt and the anger in your voice. And I know you try to be professional, obviously, but I could tell how much it hurt you as a former player. And now last year to hear the difference between 2018, 19, and last year, the last couple of years, just listening to you and Jeff on the broadcast and Marty and David, like guys that have followed the program for so many years, you played here at East Carolina. It's great even for you guys that are calling the game. I mean, I know it's got that 2017 Memphis game I talk about all the time that made me so angry. There's so many games I could mention over the last few years, but talk about that from your perspective, being a former player, and then you've got to announce the game, and then the game's over by the first quarter, second quarter.
It's been tough. It's been really tough, you know, being in the broadcast booth, you know, and Jeff, the great thing about Jeff is, you know, he didn't go to East Carolina, right? And so he's always been as objective as he can be on the air. And I learned everything I could from him. And so even coming in as a former player, I just always learned to like never get too up, never get too down. I just try to pretend like if I'm an App State fan and I'm watching the game, can I stand to listen to Kevin and Jeff? And so we try to stay where we're even keel. We obviously want to get excited about plays that the Pirates make, but we don't go overboard like some other stations do. And so being in the booth and having to grit my teeth when, you know, Memphis puts up 50 points on us or Navy puts up 70 points on us or whatever, it's been tough. And I know that, you know, we've been the giant killer before, as you guys just said. And so we know how to go in and beat these teams. We should be able to play with anybody in the country. You know, maybe there's a gap between the SEC and the Pirates right now, but we were at a point to where we could play with anybody in the country and it'd be a competitive game. It has not been like that for the last 5 or 6 years, and that's where we got to get back to.
Yeah, and just to step ahead just for a minute, not that we're looking past App State, but you mentioned the SEC, and we take on an SEC opponent. And I think from a talent standpoint, South Carolina is probably more talented than App, but I think the complete set of talent, the team, I think App's a way better football team than South Carolina. I really, truly believe neither game's going to be easy, but I really believe that the easier of the two opponents is in week two.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just what I saw from South Carolina last year and just things I've read from the offseason, they don't feel great about where they are right now, and it's going to be a struggle for them in the SEC this year. And if you get them early, hopefully you get an opportunity to put some points on them and maybe get them in that oh-no feeling again, like here we go again, and you get an opportunity to steal a win from them. But, yeah, I think that's going to be a very competitive game, and I think you're right. I think they are not as good as App State right now.
Kevin, talking about this team, one of the things, and we were talking about the defense, and I'm a defense guy, I love defense, and this team, we were talking about 2015, but I really believe that I don't believe we're going to have a whole bunch of X plays, a whole bunch of, you're talking about the deep ball. I know there may be some there, and I know that happens, broken coverages of the like, but if this team can be of that, say, that 2015 defensive, the schemes and the great coach of Rick Smith, a good job that he came in and did. And then when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I mean, with the running back situation, look at the tight ends, the offensive line. I'm hearing there's like, what, 9 guys that you could put in there now, where before we were praying that we'd have 5 guys and we would hold our breath that nobody would get hurt because we barely had 5 guys that were there at the line of scrimmage. So the offensive side of the ball is much better. And I feel like the defensive side of the ball, in your position, I could hear your voice so many times on the play, when those big plays where the DBs like not knowing where they're supposed to be and they're not lining up correctly. And you called it even before. There were times that you could see the play happen before it happened, before the snap. You got to be happy with your defense this year that they're not going to be a joke anymore. And I'm sorry, with all due respect to previous seasons, but this year I think they're going to be extremely competitive, and they're going to be going after that football.
Yeah, it's year number 2 for the new defense coordinator. I like what he did last year. Even though we still gave up 35 points a game, it looked a lot better, right? I mean, as Bubba said earlier, it looked a lot better watching our defense play, you know, kind of midway through that season towards the end of the year. The Georgia State game didn't feel good. But once the season got going, they settled in. They played better against the run. You know, I know App State's got a really good running back, a couple good running backs that they're excited about, and they want to run the football. You know, Chase Bryce is not a mobile quarterback. He's mobile to an extent, but he's not a runner. I think the last few times we've played App State, we've gone up against running quarterbacks, and we don't really usually fare very well against those type of quarterbacks. So you get a guy you can keep in the pocket, make him throw it. And I know they got 4 senior wide receivers that can catch the football. But you know what? I feel okay about Malik Fleming and Jaquan McMillan going up against some of those guys. And those safeties stepping up and making plays. So I don't really see places where App State is so much better than us. They've got some good guys on the defensive line, and our offensive line, I wouldn't call them plug and play, like he said about App State. We've struggled, you know, in the past protecting Holton Ahlers. But you're right, we've got some depth there now, and so hopefully some guys will step up and make plays. And the difference about Coach Houston that you'll see is that the guys are bigger now. They, you know, they look like big-time Division I players. They're stronger. They're faster. And so you get a young guy, he's ready to play right away. You know, we're not waiting 2 or 3 years for a guy to develop. These guys get in there ready to play, so we're recruiting the right type of player. So you get a young offensive lineman or a transfer, somebody that hadn't played a whole lot, that's okay because he can step in as long as he understands the scheme. And Coach Shankweiler is one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. He gets that scheme, and they get together playing like they should, like a hand, you know, those five offensive line playing like a hand, then they can do something. So I'm excited about the opportunity to protect Holton if he can get the job done. I felt like Holton, you know, was flat last year, maybe didn't take that leap forward like I expected him to. And so I'm hoping that this year, if he can get more time back there with those two good running backs and Harris and Mitchell and, you know, the guys behind them that can run the football, if that offensive line can do their job, I think that play action comes into play, and Holton's ability to take off and run, this offense could be pretty good. And you know, I didn't even get into the receivers, but, you know, East Carolina, you know, is wide receiver U, and we put so many wide receivers in the NFL. We've got all the records. We have tons of players at wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, you know, Tyler Snead, one of the smallest guys in the conference, is probably our best player. And so they can make it happen if you just give the quarterback some time.
And tight end. I mean, you talk about wide receivers. We suddenly have an embarrassment of riches at tight end. I mean, we went from having one damn tight end to, we're three or four deep at that position.
It was so much so that they took Jeremy Lewis and moved him to defense, and he was like one of the big-time tight ends a year ago. So, yeah, they've got some depth at that spot.
I don't know who keeps doing that, but stop it.
Yes, it's acting up. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. He's never done that before, man.
Well, that's lovely. Well, we'll just ignore it if that's possible.
It's
goodness.
Haywire. I'm sorry. It's not me.
Kevin, if you can ignore that on the screen.
No worries.
For the people that are listening only, there we go. It's fixed. Bubba fixed it, I guess. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. As you mentioned, we were talking about tight end. You know, move Jeremy Lewis over to defense. You bring the kid in from Oklahoma, Jones, exactly. Got the kid transferring in from Temple, the North Lenoir product. So a lot of depth there and a lot of depth. Really, when you look at the football team, Kevin, what would you say the weakest point is? We're talking about where we have depth and where there's some experience. What would you say the weakest point of the football team is?
Well, I'd say you have the least amount of returning starters probably on your defensive line, but I do like the fact that a lot of guys played last year. I mean, they were bringing in 10, 12, 13 guys every game. So I'm okay with some of those young guys playing. So I'd say the weakest part is the offensive line. You graduate a couple guys, you're trying to move in some new guys, you're moving guys from center to guard and different. So I need to see those guys play together to see what, you know, what kind of togetherness they have, what kind of chemistry they have in that first game or two to be able to tell. But from the outside looking in right now, I say offensive line, but defensive line is right behind them just in the fact that there's just not a lot of depth in terms of returning starters. There's tons of depth of players, but not guys that have started a bunch of games. But I'm excited about the defensive line. So I don't want that to be a negative. I'd have to say offensive line in terms of weakness.
Gotcha.
Kevin, one of the players, and he was alluding to it, Kyle was just there. I tell you,
Dave, we lost you. I don't know what happened. Kevin, are you there?
I'm still here, yeah.
I don't know where Dave was going with that. I'm assuming he was talking about Jones, the tight end from Oklahoma, is where I think he was going. What are your thoughts is? People say he's one of the best athletes on the entire football team. Do you think he'll be playing right away?
Yeah, I think so. I've not had a chance to see him in person or see him play, just kind of reading articles after practice and listening to Coach Houston talk about him and the offensive coordinator talk about him. So I've not seen him myself, but I'm excited about the things that he can do. And to have an athlete his size be able to run and jump and catch the football with his hands. You know, this we used to be, you know, under David Garrard, under Danny Gonzalez, under Mark Crandall, we used to hit the tight end all the time. You remember that. And we got to that period where the tight end was just kind of erased from our offense. And, you know, in the more recent years and the recent quarterbacks, it just wasn't a part of our offense. And now we're trying to bring that back. And that's more of a Coach Houston thing. So I'm excited about his ability. Like you said, there's a lot of depth at that position. So I think tight end wise, if we can get that going, it kills the middle of the defense. I can remember. You may remember that game that against Louisville in 1998 where Chris Redman came in. Mm-hmm. Iben Green was a tight end, and he must have had 20 catches for 200 yards. I'm playing in that game as a DB. I'm playing well. Forrest Foster's playing well. Kelvin Suggs at safety's playing well. But the linebackers are getting killed up the middle by the tight ends, and we end up losing that game by two touchdowns. And Chris Redman throws for like 4,000 yards or something in that game, and it's all because of the tight end position. And so that can really just wreck a football game. So I'm excited to see what these guys can do.
Yeah, wasn't that game like 62-48 or something like that?
Yeah, see, it was something like that. Yeah, we scored a ton of points, and then we just could not stop them.
Yeah, I prefer the following week when we had the big comeback win over Memphis to end up with a winning season. So. That's
right. Kevin, that the very fact of this team looking forward with you, Holt Naylors, you have we're talking about the depth of this team. It's the best we've had in a long, long time. Can you talk about you follow the program really, really close as a former player and a broadcaster? I know that there's a lot of hype, and we love Steven Igo and Mark Lindsay, a lot of the people that follow the recruiting scene. But are you seeing what I'm seeing as far as the players we're getting, some of the best players we've had in a long time, or is it just me?
No, I think we are, and I think that has a lot to do with Coach Houston and the type of player that we're recruiting, right? We're getting these bigger guys, we're getting these stronger guys, and these guys are ready to play right when they come out of high school. And, you know, somebody made the comment that because the FCS programs have stepped into FBS, like App State and like Charlotte, and they are starting to have programs that are competitive, that it makes it harder for schools like East Carolina that was usually getting all those players to still get good players. I don't think that's true. I think you just have to spread your wings and go out around the country and find them. And I think we're doing a good job bringing in guys. I don't follow recruiting myself either. I usually don't see them until they get on campus. But from what I've seen from these scrimmages and what I've read about the players and how well they're getting acclimated to the program, I think it's looking really, really good. To get a guy like Mason Garcia out of South Carolina, I mean, he just kind of fell in our lap. And I think Pirate fans are excited to see him get on the field whenever that happens to be. It's getting to the point now where you have to play guys, these bigger name guys, these three and four star guys. You got to play them early because then they get in the transfer portal if you don't. So I feel like you're probably going to see a lot of young guys play this year, and I'm excited about seeing it.
Something that's really stood out to me, Kevin, not only the caliber of recruit in terms of the type of football player they are, the character of these kids, and you see a GPA for the team. And I know a lot of folks are thinking, "Oh, big deal." No, and it's not everything. You know, like the previous administration thinks that a GPA will make up for a 3-9 record, obviously. But at the same time, it's a reflection of the culture within the program and the way things are being done. And the team GPA is higher than ever before.
Yeah, you know what? And it's hard being a coach, right? It's hard being a big-time college football coach because you want to get the best players. And so sometimes you turn the other, cheek on a guy who might be not a great character guy if he can play football. And I think Coach, Ruff McNeil and Scotty Montgomery both got a bad rap for having guys that may have been lower character guys because, sometimes a guy gets on campus and things just change in their life and they turn out to be a different kid than you thought they were going to be. And so I think they just kind of had to get to this, the no-nonsense situation with Coach Houston. They don't take it anymore, and so they're looking for the best character guys they can find. And sometimes that hurts you because sometimes you miss out on really good players. You're not getting these last chance you guys anymore, and so that hurts your opportunity to win football games. But if you can continue to build with good character guys, it spreads throughout the program, and all of a sudden when you do have that bad seed, there's so many good seeds around them, they kind of either push that guy out or they get him turned back in the right direction. So I think that's where the Pirates are headed, and I'm glad to see it.
No question. With the game on Thursday night, I know that I was reading Athlon Sports talking about their prediction, talking about the slight advantage to with Appalachian State with us when it came to the defense. You're a defensive guy. Is that what you see as the – if you're going to give an advantage, the –
Yeah. I think that's where they probably do have the advantage. I think they have, all 11 guys or 10 of 11 guys returning on defense, a ton of seniors. They're excited about their defense. One of the defensive linemen up front is a big time player. Gets after the quarterback. And so, this offensive line is going to have to step up. They're going to have to make plays. App is fast. They're athletic. They may not be as big as the Pirates across their roster. But that don't always matter. Some of the better players are smaller guys that are quick and strong. And so, yeah, I think they probably have the edge defensively, but that's why the Pirates have to spread them out, run the football, slow down that rush, and then find a way to get some play action to hurt them.
Kevin, what are your, I don't know if you can do this because you do it on the network, your keys to victory, but what do you think the Pirates need to do to win the football game?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind giving you my keys because I think it's simple for game one. You got to be able to stop the run defensively. They've got a great running back up front. That's what they want to do is get into this game and establish a run. If they can get up on us a touchdown or two just running the football, they're going to stick with it. So the Pirates have to play well up front in the trenches, defensively in the defensive line and linebackers. And then offensively, same thing. You got to be able to establish a run. I mean, to say you have Harris and Mitchell, if you can't open up holes and you can't get those guys loose, it means nothing. So being able to stop the run on defense, establish the run on offense so that you can open up the passing game downfield, and then, you know, you can use this key every week. But turnovers. You play a team like App in Charlotte, big crowd, first game of the year. You're the underdog. You turn the ball over, you lose. So they have to find a way to not turn it over, but also get a couple takeaways, whether it be interceptions or fumble recoveries. I think those three things can lead to a Pirate victory.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing right there. I think we need to force some turnovers. I think, you know, that kid, you know, I know he's got a lot more weapons around him at App State than he did at Duke last year. But he's had a tendency to throw some interceptions. So if we can put him in a situation, if we can control the run game, you know, they're going to get their yards. But if we can keep it in check where they have to throw a little bit more than they want, can we force them to throw some picks? To me, that would be where I think we could potentially steal this game.
Yeah, those Pirate defenses that have been really, really good over the years have been the defenses that have taken the ball away. I can remember one of the teams I was on in 96, we led the nation in takeaways at one point. We had like 36 takeaways through about 10 games. That was an 8-3 season. You know, in 08 and 09 when the Pirates go on to win championships, the defense were just crazy. They had like 5 interceptions against Tulsa in that one bowl game. So when you find a way to take the football away and make plays to get your offense back on the field, because offense has always been potent. Maybe not so much the last couple of years, but they've always had the talent offensively. The defense has to help them out. And so if you can take the football away, get them back out there, that's how you win football games.
Kevin, with the pressure, speaking of Chase Bryce, tried to make a lot of things happen at Duke. And that, like Kyle was saying, to add to that, how important is it to get pressure on the quarterback, on him? Because he's not, I think you talked about it earlier, he's not a mobile quarterback, like you were talking about at the very beginning of our interview in our conversation. So if he's not a mobile quarterback and you can get a whole bunch of sacks and then you get him kind of like rattled, and then McMillan and some of those guys that are and Fleming, Ford is somebody, another key guy, a D-back that I think he's a real stud there in the backfield there. But there's a lot of guys that if you can kind of rattle him a little bit and then throw it, maybe he makes a really bad throw trying to make something happen, and that might be the difference in the game.
Yeah, we did a good job last year of mixing in some of those in-between guys, some of those, you know, outside defensive end, outside linebacker type guys or safeties like Stringer, who kind of made a name for himself last year, blitzing and just kind of being all over the field. You start mixing in some plays where you get some good pressure up the middle, but you're also blitzing from the outside. You make that pocket where you keep that quarterback in, but you also put a bunch of pressure in his face and you force him to make a high throw. That's when DBs shine. I mean, I was a pretty good player, but I had guys like Rod Coleman and Norris McCleary and Travis Darden up front just getting after quarterbacks. And so that's what made me a lot better. And so if you can get that pressure up front, those DBs are going to look so much better. So, yeah, you get a guy like Chase Bryce who's kind of been a few different places, hasn't settled in yet. You know, he's thrown some picks, as we said. You want to get up in his face and make him make tough throws from the pocket and see how good he is.
Kevin, not to go down a rabbit hole, but you can get off on a tangent here, but bringing up that name, Rod Coleman, I remember that, I want to say it was one of the first possessions of the game up at West Virginia in 1997. I remember, I want to say it was Amos Arroway, and one of those talented running backs got the ball, and Rod Coleman about took the handoff right there about the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of those games, just crazy out there. I mean, it just – getting batteries and beer thrown at you during the game up in West Virginia, just insane. But you have it, having guys like Rod and Norris and Travis Dard and some of those guys, just the playmakers that they were, all guys that played in the NFL. It makes the defense so much better. It just gives you so many more opportunities to take some chances back there in the back end. It frees up the linebackers from not having to worry about offensive guards and tackles getting on them because they're too busy worrying about the defensive front. That's where you got to get back to. And then that's the type of talent that we have now. I just got to cut it loose and stop thinking and just go play and make plays.
Kevin, we have some comments that we want to put up on the screen and maybe some questions here tonight. A lot of fans, thank you so much for watching here the Pirate preview. And Johnny Robertson chimes in. I don't feel like ECU is a good first matchup for a quarterback that struggles as much as Bryce does. out of the 211 Division I quarterbacks who were rated by PFF last year. Chase was number 203, and 47.1% of his passes of 10-plus yards were uncatchable. Unless he has improved tremendously, he better hope that he establishes a running game early, which is very possible. I'm sure that the Pirate DBs are licking their chops.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even talked about guys like Bruce Bivens and Xavier Smith, guys that have been doing it forever, these linebackers. And they're ready, you know, they're excited. But the Pirates have struggled some. They gave up 200 yards rushing a game last year, I think 201 per game. And so they've got to establish themselves. And the first game last season was a rough one. So they've got to establish themselves, get out there and stop the run. If Chase Price can hand that football off to the quality backs they have back there, they can run that clock. They can eat up yards, move the sticks. That's what they want to do. And then once he gets settled in, he can go to his play action. He can make some throws downfield. Quarterbacks are always a lot more comfortable, you know, on second and three than they are on second and nine, right? And so if they get their run game going, it's going to make it a long day for the Pirates. If we can stop that run and get them in the second and long and third and long, that's when we start licking our chops, knowing they're going to have to throw the football and we can get some pressure on them.
Or not. Right.
We got some more comments here. In fact, Brad Williams says, go Pirates. So thank you very much, Brad, for tuning in. Another comment from Johnny. He says, although not likely, I feel that a 5-0 start is not out of the question. There are things that work in the Pirates' favor in every one of those games. So I hope you're right, Johnny. I don't see 5-0, but I hope you're right. I hope we're 12-0. That would be great. I just don't see it happen this year. What about you, Kev?
No, I don't. I'd love for us to get bowl eligible. I don't see us getting off to a start like that. We're gonna take some lumps, but I just want to see us competitive in every game.
Kevin, I'll tell you what I hate. If we upset Appalachian State and we upset South Carolina, we're 2-0, we got to go on the road and play Marshall. If we lose to Appalachian State and we lose to South Carolina and we desperately need a win, we got to go on the road and play Marshall.
Yeah.
I hate where that game lands.
Yeah, I mean, these first two, I mean, just, you know, you can win both, but you can lose both. And I heard Big C talk about neither team wants to start off 0-2. That's exactly right. I mean, I don't care who you're playing, you want to start off 0-2. So you got to have a good showing. But as Pirate fans, we're tired of those, you know, oh, you almost won games. We need to win some games. So to be able to start off, you know, 1-1 at the worst, but certainly at least win one of those games, if not both, would be where we want to be heading into Marshall.
Yeah, no doubt. I kind of where I want to be going into conference play. If we can be 2-2, even if it's Marshall and Charleston Southern, you just hate to go into Marshall 0-2.
Yeah.
Because then you got to win that football game. I'm like you. If we can start off 1-1, you feel pretty good about the chances to get to a bowl game.
I don't think there's any question. And I think, you know, we were to a point to where we were winning – you know, from the late 90s to the early 2000s, we were winning 7-8 games every year. And yeah. So we were going to a bowl every year. And the expectation started to be, okay, we need to win 8 games. We need to win 9 games. And so that's where the program was. Now the expectations aren't there. The expectations are, can we get bowl eligible? Can we win 6? Yeah. And so that takes a little bit of pressure off the, at least the players, because fans, you know, they want more, but they aren't expecting more. So let's just get out there and take it one game at a time. I love what you're saying. You get started 1-1, you're 2-2 at some point, and you can push and be bowl eligible before the end of the year. That's where they should be aiming. Obviously, they're probably aiming higher than that, but as a fan, as a broadcaster, that's what I'd like to see from them.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's say hello to our good friend, Brendan Shapiro, part of the Sports Objective family, the alum of East Carolina and the alum of our show. He's saying, "Arg." And also former ECU football player in the 80s, Norman Quick. He's saying, we need to believe. So, Norman, you're right. I think that we can all agree that before we didn't believe a few years ago. But now the last couple of years, Kevin, having the coaching change. One more thing I wanted to ask you, and I know we're running out of time, but how about the strength and conditioning there with Big John? I tell you what, he's a guy that can make even me look like Hulk Hogan. Well, maybe not, but that's a stretch. But
your hair's there.
Yeah, yeah. I need the bandana, right? Yeah. And I do my prayers and vitamins. But we both love wrestling, Kevin, if you can't tell. But
in with Jeff Charles.
Exactly. He's promoting shows now. I'm really proud of him doing a dream of his, promoting wrestling shows. But maybe I told him maybe he can do one here locally. It would be awesome where we could all go to. But Kevin, as far as Big John, talk about, your era with Coach C, with Jeff Connors. But I tell you what, this era with having Big John, he's the real deal.
Yeah, the guys love him. He's a Rose High alum like myself, so I'm rooting for him. I think he does a great job. It looks like these guys are getting strong right away. You know, I can remember, you know, from senior year of high school to the end of my freshman year of college, I gained 20 pounds and got faster. And so that's what you want to see from strength and conditioning coaches. You get a guy in, if they need to add weight, put it on them. If they need to, you know, everybody needs to add muscle. You got to find a way to get that done, but you don't want to lose the speed. So you got to do it right, the right way, eating the right types of foods, lifting weights the right way. And so Big John seems to know his stuff. Everybody loves him. And these guys are getting better.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you see the Pirates winning on Thursday night or losing on Thursday night in Charlotte?
I see them winning. I see them winning. If for nothing else, it's because I think that Appalachian State is looking past them to Miami.
Wow. You heard it first. Hey, I love Kevin Monroe. I love your confidence. And you guys, maybe you could take the swagger of the 90s. And I'm from that era. You know, I'm a few years older than you. So I saw the Liberty Bowl era is me and Peach Bowl. So that's my era. And then right with you guys right behind me. Let's bring that swagger of the 90s to the current team. I know it's not the same era, but, man, the swagger you guys had back in the day, I would love for them to have that confidence. My God, going into Thursday night, I pray if they had just 20%, 15% of that swagger, we can win that football game.
No, they're certainly going to need it. This is a tough App State team they're playing. And, you know, I think if both teams play their best, then maybe App has the edge there. But that's why you play it on the field. You don't play it on the paper. So, you know, if you get out there and you start hitting them in the mouth, keep them from playing their best, that's how you get a victory.
I definitely think it'll be a four-quarter ball game. I'm like you. I think probably a lot of App State fans, not necessarily, you know, the coaching staff, but a lot of the fans just think that – they see that Georgia State result last year, how the Pirates got smoked by the Panthers down there. But this is a much different football team than the one that was at Georgia State that day.
I don't think there's any question. And that quarterback, I mean, he looked like Cam Newton. He was mobile. He could throw the ball downfield. They had athletic running backs. We just weren't ready for them at all. And even if we had played them three or four games later that season, it would have been a much better game. But the Pirates just weren't ready for that game. They've seen that. They know what that's all about. They're a better team this year. I would be very surprised to see a blowout from App State against East Carolina on Thursday night.
Well, it sounds like it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. I know, and everybody can listen to you and Jeff Charles. One of the things, Wace, is obviously the TuneIn Radio app, right?
Yes, TuneIn Radio. And then obviously check your local stations for wherever IMG and the Pirate Radio has their games. But we're excited. We'll be ready to go. This will be our first road trip in almost 2 years, right? Because we didn't travel any games last year. So we're excited to get on the road and be in Charlotte and get back in the atmosphere.
Kevin, we're looking forward to it. And I'm still going to hope I'm going to apply to the the NCAA and ask them if they have another year for you. We'd love to have you in maybe the UCF game or one of the games, or set the Thanksgiving weekend Cincinnati game at home would be great.
Yeah, I'll just stay behind the microphone if you don't mind.
All right, man. Have a good one. We appreciate you so much. Have a great call on Thursday night. Look forward to listening to you and Jeff and Marty and David this season.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always a lot of fun.
All right, man. Take care. All right. Appreciate Kevin very much there, guys. And I tell you what, very excited. You guys have anything before we go? It's going to be a great, great atmosphere on Thursday night. Cannot wait. For sure.
I wanted to see if Bubba could leave and come back one more time.
Well, I think
we do it for me, Bubba.
Hey, if you're going through what I'm going through on this end, as far as the audio and
yeah,
I have no other choice.
It would be wonderful. I love it.
Thank you, StreamYard.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some problem. There's some technical difficulties there going on tonight. Unfortunately, to say the very least.
Hey, let's give a score in our to steal from Kevin Monroe's keys to victories. Dave, you want to go first?
You said score?
Yeah, predict the score and keeps the victory. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going.
Score? What's the score?
Yeah. I thought I heard you right. I'm going Pirates 31. And I think 31-27. Holt Naylor's has a late comeback in the fourth quarter. They win the game 31-27. I see a big day for my key to is I'm looking at Ryan Jones. I think just listening to the coaches, I think there's something special there. And I don't know anything, obviously, because I'm not there every day. But just listening to the coaches, listening to the fall camp he had, I'm looking for a big game from him. And, of course, our running backs, the law firm of Harris and Mitchell. I love those guys. I think they're amazing. And I think Holton's going to have a big day. And I don't think our defense is bad as what Appalachian State fans or other people may think. And so when you put those two together, I think it's going to be 31 Pirates, 27 App State.
Bubba, what you got? Or I'll go if you can't go right now. I'm going to give you a key, like my key to us winning. We got to establish the run. And on the defensive side of the ball, we got to limit their ability to run and force them to throw the football. That kid needs to show that he can. You know, I know he's got a big arm. I know he was highly recruited, but he's turned the ball over a lot to this point. We need to make him beat us, and maybe he can do it. He's got an offensive line and some experienced receivers. But I'd load the box and take the runaway first and make him beat us and force some turnovers. To me, if you can get that kid to rattled early, if you can get in his head early, if you can get an early pick or two, we can really have a chance to win the ball game. That said, I'm going to go Appalachian State 28, East Carolina 21. I think we come up a little bit short, unfortunately, and the Mountaineers get the victory. And nothing to get down about. I think App may go undefeated this year. But unfortunately, I'm going to take the Mountaineers 28-21, and I pray to God I am wrong. And I'm eating crow and all that good stuff.
How about you, Bubba? What do you think?
I really don't have a score. I think it'll be a four-quarter ball game, very much like Kyle and kind of what Kevin Monroe was saying. My big thing is this. We're definitely heading in the right direction. I really think that we'll push for a bowl game this year. I just wonder, with – so many experienced players back for App, just if it is a close game and a lot of our guys, playing in this type of atmosphere for the first time, not Holton, but some of the others, hopefully we can make those plays against the team that's had so much success. And I would not be surprised to see it go either way. I think it'll be a four-quarter football game.
Kevin made an interesting point. He thinks they're going to be looking to hit to Miami. I don't know
that I agree with that. I was a little surprised to hear Kevin say that because based on the way this program has been so consistent, you don't have that type of consistency looking ahead, much less against an in-state opponent like East Carolina or, when they played North Carolina a couple years ago. I really think this is a game and they'll be ready for it. If East Carolina wins, it will not be because the Mountaineers were taking it for granted.
Bubba, I would tend to agree with you, but then I hear nothing against the guy, the Big C. He seemed just extremely confident, which he should be. But, he said we're used to opening up with a big opponent. And that just made me scratch my head a little bit that those words came out of his mouth. So, who knows? The coaches can say it all they want, but you're a product of your environment. And if you're hearing your fan base say crap like that, who knows what's going through your head come kickoff time?
Hey, Kyle, I took it as a compliment because we are big time. So,
he said we're used to opening up with a big opponent.
I know. I'm joking. I know.
Playing that we're not.
I know that, but we are big time, and the only way that you're going to be big time is to beat big time, and that's what we like, Ric Flair, right? So, by the way, we've got a fan here putting in a prediction on YouTube. David Eckberg says Pirates 38, App State 24. So,
wow, David, if you're right, I will.
I hope you are right.
Yeah, I hope you're right too. Save his name if he's right. If he gets that score right, if we win 38-24, what was that score he had? I'm going to send him something. So save his name.
Okay.
I'm going to send him something. I don't know what, but I'll send him something.
He's got a great name, so I won't forget his first name for sure.
Yeah.
So 38-24 East Carolina, if that's the case. Hey, if it's a one-point victory, guys, we'll take it. We'll take it. And
we put up 38 points on that defense, and even win or lose. Good God Almighty, what kind of offense do we have this year?
Yeah, as far as the defense, and I know Big C talked about it, and, you know, you look at that defense, everything they return, and as good as they've been in recent years on that side of the ball, you know, Thomas Hennigan, who's one of their top wide receivers, he said that he really feels that this defense could be even better, and who knows, they may be, but I agree with you, if the Pirate offense comes out and has a very good night, that's an extremely encouraging sign moving forward. Because, I mean, you look at it last year when they did lose to Marshall, and that game probably wasn't quite as close as the 17-7 score would indicate. Marshall kind of had their way at a lot of times in that game, and there were some times that you know, App State missed out on some red zone opportunities, but they really stifled the run game and then the passing game with former quarterback Zach Thomas and crew. With Corey Sutton opting out of last year, they really couldn't get the passing game going. So very interested to see those play action passes, the deep balls down the field early on, and see how we hold up against those, because we've heard a lot about our secondary. Hopefully we'll come out and live up to that early, and then if we, you know, you do give up a big play, we'll be able to flush it and continue to play good football moving forward.
No doubt. We have some more comments, people chiming in. We'll see if we can get those up here, and if you have a comment on, you can put up on YouTube, Facebook, or obviously Twitter. Christian Kennicott, he says, does Snead score Thursday? Does he score twice? How much better is the O-line this year compared to last year? Take it away, guys.
You hope Snead scores. If he doesn't, that's probably not good for our team, because, you know, he's going to get the ball in his hands multiple times at receiver and on special teams. So, yeah, I would say Snead scores. The O-line, Kevin alluded to it, we do lose a couple of starters. I think we're going to have a lot more depth on the O-line.
Yep.
So, to me, the O-line's improved. I know Kevin, you know, in his opinion, it was a big question. Well, the biggest question mark on the team because of losing a couple of guys off the O-line. I look at it, I think it'll be improved just because of depth. I think there's a lot of guys we can rotate in and out. So, if somebody gets hurt, I don't think there's a lot of drop-off. In terms of how much it's improved, I don't know. But I do think overall the O-line will be improved, yeah.
No question about it. You guys have anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, the offensive line's definitely improved. You heard what Coach Shank said. You know, last year against Georgia State, guys were starting at positions they had never played in their lives. And then this year you have eight guys that have started – games, most of them multiple games, yep. And then you have 11 guys that have played in games at the FBS level, so got to feel great about, even though they're not where they're going to be and where they need to be long term, they're definitely a lot closer to that than they have been in several years, you know, going back to the Ruffin McNeil era.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, Dave, here is we wind us down, if we lose Thursday night, unless we just play awful, everybody needs to keep their heads up. This is a great Appalachian State football team, and stay focused. The Gamecocks are week two, and that's a big-time SEC program. But it's a game that, again, I think we can win. Not that I'm throwing in the towel for App State. I'm just saying, if it don't go our way, keep your heads up. And some interesting news coming out of Columbia today. They are starting their former GA, graduate assistant coach at quarterback this weekend. He had 1 year of eligibility left because of COVID, transferred in from North Dakota State, and he is starting for them against Eastern Illinois as their projected starter is injured. Shane Beamer said that kid, Bob, I don't know if you have their projected starter's name, but he may be ready for East Carolina, so it'll be interesting to see who plays quarterback against us in 2 weeks.
The guy that's starting against Eastern Illinois that you referenced, that had played at Iowa State and then also been a backup at North Dakota State, and that's Zeb Nolan. But then the guy that you were referenced Gosh, I'm drawing up. You made me draw a blank on it here now. Let's see. But he was the top quarterback coming out of the state of South Carolina in the same year that Mason Garcia was coming out, if I'm not mistaken.
And he has not played for the game.
And his name, and that is Luke Doty.
Did Doty play any last year?
Sparingly. I think maybe, you know, he's a pretty good runner. I want to say, I mean, I know he threw the ball some as well, but kind of like Holton was early on in his freshman year before he became the full-time starter. I think he was kind of using that role, some running packages and so forth.
So that'll be interesting to see. Not that we want to look ahead, but if he's starting against us, you know, you kind of in the back of your head kind of hope he doesn't. You kind of hope he, you know, you get Zeb to start again. But at the same time, that'll be that kid's first true start on the road against East Carolina. So anyway, we'll burn that bridge when he gets here.
No doubt, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, before we go, I want to remind everybody, Bubba, I believe on Thursday night we'll have the Pirate playback.
Yeah, the kickoff for Thursday's 7:30. So, you know, with it being an ESPNU ball game, odds are it's going to last to at least about 11 o'clock, if not longer. So sometime 30 to 45 minutes after the game, once my party and I have had the opportunity to get in the car and get on the road, we'll – have our Pirate football playback, our season debut. We'll reflect on the game, maybe have some brief video for Pirate fans who weren't able to make it down to Charlotte, and let you see firsthand what it was like from some of us who are in attendance.
No doubt. And our new colleague, Alan Thomas, joining us, former Greenville mayor, will be with us on, on Thursday night. So he'll be, I know, in attendance at that game at Bank of America Stadium. Guys, looking forward to it. Thanks to our great guests, Big C and Kevin Monroe. Thank you guys very much. Kyle Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, appreciate it very much. We're going to get out of here. Until next time, you've been watching the Pirate Preview, and we'll see you Thursday night after the game right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!